Hi everyone, welcome to the Stark Naked Report for Sunday, November 9th, 2008. This is Clinton and Lonnie Stark, and thanks for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about some highlights from the last week on our blog and also in the news. We have, I think, about four things we're going to cover today. The first is the election. Of course, we had the big U.S. election. We'll talk about that. We recently watched Iron Man.
Finally.
I know. We've been meaning to watch it for a while, so we'll give you our comments on that. We'll have a he said, she said, and see what we agree or disagree on. And we'll briefly mention the shootout report that we had on our blog about internet radio.
Yeah, Mike did a great entry on that.
So we'll talk about that. And then finally, Virgin Wines. We did an interesting wine review on the Virgin Wine. We'll talk about that. We had a comment from a distributor who wrote in, and we'll talk really briefly about that. So, okay, so let's start with the election.
Yeah, it was a big week here for the U.S.
Absolutely. So were you surprised by the result?
I wasn't surprised, but I think that until the results finally come in, you just never know with politics.
Well, it's true. I mean, I would have thought in 2004, yeah. I was thinking Al Gore was going to do that one, and, I was proved wrong, and so were a lot of people, so you never know. You know, I will say, I think I wish John McCain actually won in 2000, but he didn't, and that was that, and he was kind of a different McCain this time around. What did you think of the...
I thought that, I was actually in Europe, and it was interesting going around to all the different countries I was visiting. And, of course, you try to stay away from politics, but ultimately when you get on the U.S., especially during election time, it is a hot topic. And the question that I sort of always turned the conversation around to my European counterparts was, what they thought about the election. And definitely... regardless of which side they were on or political views, they just thought that the U.S. needed a transformational leader, just with the war and the economy, and they thought that Obama could be that transformational leader.
Yeah, and it was tough for the Republicans to go up against the economy.
Yes.
The economy, it was getting worse day after day. We thought we'd hit the bottom with the housing market and then the whole global financial meltdown, some of our banks changing ownership and disappearing. So it was tough.
Yes, and it's still going on, actually.
And it's still going on.
We don't know how long. It's always hard in election season when the economy is tanking for the incumbents to really win. The public will forgive a lot of things, but a bad economy is not one of them, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, one of the things that surprised me, we were watching the concession speech for McCain. And it was short. It was pretty gracious, although you could tell you harbored some bitterness still towards the whole campaign. But the reaction was a little bit surprising because they were booing quite a bit whenever he mentioned Palin. And there was a very much mixed reaction. The reason I'm a little bit surprised is because I thought she was going to be some kind of future strategy for the party. And maybe that's not the case. And now they're trying to maybe use her as a scapegoat for losing the whole ticket.
It's hard to know. I mean, I think with politics, a lot of different political candidates have seen second lives and third lives. So I think we haven't seen the end of Palin. I think she's sharp, and maybe her time just hasn't come
yet.
She's
not sharp?
I think she's sharp. I think she didn't get where she is by not having some political savviness.
That's for sure.
I do think that she lacked... some years of experience.
Yeah, like having a passport, maybe.
There are things, yes, like having a passport. Thank you, Clint. But I think that there may still be a future for her.
Yeah.
And I think that as far as the booing from the Republican Party that you heard, I thought it was more sort of the minority, right? It's always that case in a crowd where you have a certain
vocal minority.
Right. And no one likes losing, so it's always hard at that point, and there's a lot of finger pointing, unfortunately, that goes on.
Now, some of the winners, some of the people who really came out big on this election, every year there's stories that go around an election. One of them, I think, was Saturday Night Live. I mean, they've always been involved in political humor, and it's always been one of their strengths because they've been very good at it through the years. You think of Dana Carvey doing Ross Perot. That was just a great impression. This year, we had, I think, all the candidates were on the show.
Yes.
Palin was on, of course, McCain, Obama.
But
and
I think what really...
I don't know if Biden was on. I don't think Biden was on.
I think... I'm not sure Biden was on. I know there were impressions of Biden, but I think what really elevated SNL was the Palin impression. In fact, if I didn't know any better, I would almost say that Saturday Night Live had their own lobbyists in there to get a Tina Fey lookalike on, you know, their campaign so that they could actually do such great impressions. So the resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So the Saturday Night Live, that was fun to watch. And then the other thing that's interesting, we watched CNN a lot. CNN was covering this election just 24 hours a day.
Yes.
In depth. A couple of things I noticed about it. First is they are really pulling out all the stops when it comes to technology. You can see they had the holographic interviews.
Yes, although later on they said it wasn't exactly holographic because in the live actual studio, Anderson Cooper couldn't actually see the person.
He would stare at a blank space, right?
Yes,
and they would project it through computers.
Yeah, so it's called something else.
Yeah,
I thought
Cooper was really looking at the holograph standing there. That would be neat if they got that.
That would be, actually. You could see the applications elsewhere. I mean, maybe it was glitzy for TV, but definitely in, you know, virtual meetings and everything else, to have that sort of connectivity would be great in that.
Yeah, if you think this is the early release, can you imagine what they're going to get to?
Yeah.
What kind of virtual meetings will we all be sitting around as ghosts around a table?
Yeah. We can beam your mother-in-law here.
Yes.
Anyway.
That would be your, yes.
Your mother, yeah. Not mine, mine's mother.
And what was I going to say? The other gimmickry or gimmicky gadget thing I noticed, which I love because I like all these things, is they have this huge map, the electoral map, and they flip it through like a huge computer screen. And it's a bit like that movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise. You know, they sort of their hands and move states around and highlight things. In fact, they did a funny little Saturday Night Live skit on it where they made fun of that.
Yeah.
But that was funny, too.
What's amazing, though, with all this technology is we still can't get the voting machines right. You've got, like, these things that fly off the screen and everything else, but you can't get the voting registration. And they were talking about there was that, I don't know whether it was just they needed filler in the news, but they had that where if you touched on the screen, you could have accidentally voted for someone else. And I was sitting back on the couch looking at that thinking, why didn't they just make the buttons
they put
further
the buttons
apart?
Right next to each other.
Like they were right next to each other. I didn't understand that.
And there's always some concern about the code. And if programmers want to, you know, rig the election results, they could do something with the code to change the results.
Or hack into the system,
you know. And so, but then, you know, you have problems either way. Because remember the whole Chad incident with Florida last election and all those problems. So, you know, anyways. Oh, and then the final thing I want to say about the election is you have star power come out of any major news event. If you think back to Katrina, we were talking about this with Anderson Cooper, really that became famous out of Katrina.
That really launched his career.
Right. He was on the ground reporting, very dramatic, and he became famous because of that. And now he's a prominent face to CNN. And back at the O.J. Simpson trial, there was Greta Van Susteren and a bunch of them. They also launched their careers off that. Now, this time, through the 2008 election, I'd say John King.
Hmm.
You know, John King, he, you know, they have this look now. I think they had the Wolf Blitzer look, which is the older guy with the beard and gray and kind of serious.
Yeah.
And now I think there's a hipper, edgier, kind of younger generation.
But still with the silver highlights.
With the silver cool highlights. Say, hey, look, I'm hip and young, but I have a little bit of silver gray hair.
The wisdom.
I know what I'm talking about.
The wisdom gray, the silver.
And can that John King, boy, they can really talk. He sat in for Larry King and he did a pretty good job, but they can really, really talk, these pundits. Yeah. It's incredible.
I think it's going to be a while before we see an election as exciting as this one. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was great. All right. Iron Man, we finally got a chance to see the movie. It's coming out on video, and we watched it on the big screen in high definition.
Yeah, actually, we've been wanting to because Tony Stark, you know, last name Stark, so we definitely wanted to make sure we supported our relatives.
Well, it reminded me of my bachelor days a little bit, that movie.
I see. What, you were in arms dealing in a Playboy?
No, sports cars and, you know,
maybe,
kind of fun
maybe,
gadgets.
Maybe when you were a bachelor in your dreams.
Probably. I know.
So I thought it was a great movie. It was actually a lot more dark and serious than I thought it would be.
Like a lot of those movies these days.
Yeah, actually, a lot of our heroes in movies have gotten a much more grittier, edgier. And you see that with James Bond, that transition from Pierce Brosnan, who was really suave, Remington Steele type guy, to Daniel Craig, who's much more grittier and not so pretty boy.
And a much better Bond.
Actually, a lot of people would agree with you. I think ever since Sean Connery, there hasn't been a Bond as popular as
I think he. Daniel I would Craig. Say, and I saw we saw it together on USA Today. Did a poll. Number one Bond they selected was Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And then number two was Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that.
So that was, I thought, one of the changes. And then the other was the current relevance of the issues. So around arms, around... and actually not even giving you a black and white, showing you how complex a problem can be. Because here you have the protagonist, Tony Stark, finally realizing... Initially, he was the playboy, whatever. But finally realizing the consequences of his actions. But then he goes and tries to revert it by creating these this human machine that is going to help save the world. But then, as you can see, when the movie progresses, things are not as black and white
right.
in terms of technology and what technology can be used
and,
for.
And, you know, you see the storyline repeated every decade or so. And, of course, the enemy changes. It used to be the Cold War, so it used to be Russians. Same with James Bond. He used to chase Russians down. It was always Russia that was the enemy, the Cold War. Now it's, you know, very much a terrorist element to that. And so that, you know, trying to play on the crowd, like, yeah, go, you know, take down all these terrorists. So it reminded me of previous movies I'd seen. Nicolas Cage did one called Lord of War, which was an excellent movie.
Ah, yes. That's what it is.
The arms dealer. Right.
I was trying to remember what the movie's name was. Yeah,
that was did you see that one? You thought that was
yeah,
good?
I'm a big Nicolas Cage fan as
I
well.
I thought it was really good. Different than Iron Man. I mean, Iron Man's an action movie. Not Lord of War, not so much, but it was great.
Yeah, Lord of War had a lot more of an edgy, strange sort of humor to it. Much more of that sort of way. This one was more classic action hero type. But I have to say, when I first saw the pictures of Iron Man, who is actually a lesser known character in Marvel Comics,
right.
it was
never
a superstar.
Yeah.
I wasn't really feeling it. You know, I mean, I love Batman. Batman's like my ultimate superhero. But after I saw this movie, I was really impressed. And I think Iron Man's giving Batman a run for his money. Just the key elements. Normal guy, right? Reformed from a playboy
well,
to someone serious.
Well, semi-normal. I mean, he's a billionaire.
Okay,
like
well,
movie, but, right.
well, that was one of the things I liked about him, too.
Right, okay.
and extremely smart. I mean, how can you not like this guy who's so smart? And of course, still emotionally withdrawn and removed because he's just so brilliant, focused on his own creations and machines which he can control, I think. So there's some complex psychology going on there, and
But there was also a sad element too, though. I mean, he was very lonely. He spent a lot of time surrounded with machines and with computers, and it was a sense that that's kind of reflective of society today, where you've got people sitting at home in social networks, maybe, and not really interacting with people. He kind of looked like that a bit, didn't you think?
A little. There was that element, well, but there was still that love interest.
Well, yeah, he's got one friend.
Everybody else turns against him.
I mean, I thought it was a good movie. I wouldn't say it was a great movie. I think the special effects were good.
Yes.
The storyline was a little bit trite. I mean, it was very obvious that he had a change. All of a sudden, he just has this change of heart. Well, he was taken hostage, but
yeah.
He had a change of heart, changed his business, and then...
You know what? I don't think the storyline was particularly creative, but I thought that Robert Downey Jr. did a great job in creating a very likable character, complex, dark, and as far as I'm concerned, two thumbs up for this movie.
Yeah, I think so. And by the way, he was in pretty good shape. It's good to see him turn around his personal life and his career and doing well.
And for those that are looking for a couples movie, definitely one to see. I think it's got enough action for the guy, but enough of that romance for the girl.
All right, there's something I want to talk about on our blog. We do a shootout. You know, I love Whole House Audio. I love this idea of internet radio. And there's a good blog entry there on a comparison of some of these new choices. It's also interesting if you're in Loretto Bay or you have a vacation home somewhere, this idea that you can very easily loop in your local radio stations, even if you're in Loretto, or any of your favorite radio stations through internet radio is great. It's not like FM radio where you have to be, you know, dialing in the signal. So we had a shootout which compared three of the top ones, the Logitech Slim devices, the Roku, and the Sonos. So I think that was very good. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that or you even really care about that stuff.
I sort of did. I thought that I took a quick look and I thought Mike did a great job, but it's all alphabet soup to me. All I know is that we do have internet radio streaming through our home here and I really enjoy it and I leave the details to others.
Yeah, I enjoy it because you can dial up any kind of music and enjoy it all the time. So, and there's very few ads on these, from what I can tell, from when we play radio, we don't really hear any ads. There's a few. And then you can also pay for a premium level service and not receive ads.
You could donate to support it, obviously. So would you agree with Mike's opinion on...
Yeah, there was a time when you put a whole... We put a whole audio through our house, but we only put the speakers through the house. And then you just connect up to internet radio. There was a time when you would spend... you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 probably on this kind of thing. The technology has come to a point now where, like a lot of things, cell phones, cameras, that you need to spend only $1,000 or less. In fact, I think the most expensive system was about $1,000, the Sonos. But you could do this for a couple hundred dollars.
So is this through wireless then? Or
I think these ones are, you know, you can connect to the internet wirelessly.
Okay.
And then you connect that to your stereo.
Okay. So it still depends on a wireless connection, because I have heard that sometimes it's a little spotty down in Laredo to get wireless.
Yeah, I guess, we haven't tested the internet ourselves there, but you would probably need a pretty good, you know, same thing with Skype, for example.
Oh,
you know, if you want to use Skype, you need a good, reliable connection.
Dark. I see.
So,
dark.
Yeah, that would be the case.
Oh,
all right, and we've had one more final thing we'll talk about today, and then we'll call it a day. The Virgin wine review that I did. You know,
yeah.
I do these weekly wine reviews, sometimes
I actually
more.
Haven't tried out the wine, so I was saying to Clint I would try it out and see if I agreed more with Clint or Jim, who wrote a great comment on
our blog. You have to explain what happened. I wrote a review of the Virgin Shiraz wine, red wine, which is under the Virgin label, which is Richard Branson. He's now into wine. You know, he's into space, he's into airlines, he's into music of course. And now he's into wine, so he's partnered, and we tasted his wine, and I wrote a review. Maybe, you know, I'm favorable on Richard Branson, you know, we're a dynamic billionaire, and he's doing a lot of good. He's doing a lot of solar investments, he's doing a lot of green, and he's just an exciting person.
It's okay, you basically
right?
didn't like
yeah,
the wine.
Yeah, so I have to make sure I say I like that side. But the wine, not so much. And you haven't tried it yet, have you?
I haven't, actually. Just to give viewers a little bit of background on, listeners, on this wine, we actually were exploring at Cost Plus World Markets.
Right.
And just looking, we like to go there sometimes because they have some really interesting selection of wines. It's more of an adventure and low sort of cost commitment, basically. And so I saw this wine, and it had a very interesting bottle. And as you'll know, I love looking at bottles. And so the Cost Plus, the wine merchant or buyer there who was in charge of the wine section really recommended this Virgin Vines. Saying that they had stocked it a couple times and they've sold out on it. So based on that recommendation, we bought three bottles.
Yeah, I always believe there's a correlation between the better the label and the more creative and beautiful it is, typically the worse the wine. But I don't go in, look, I don't drink the wine thinking that, because I think, who wrote in, it was, what's his name again? Do you remember?
Jim.
Jim wrote in and said, well, that's why you do blind tastings, because you don't want to be influenced by the wine. And, you know, fair enough. But on the other hand, you know, you taste the wine and you like what you like. And, you know, and I gave this one a chance. I let it decant.
Yeah.
And actually, I came back at it a couple days later and tried it again just to make sure.
Yeah.
And I let it, you know, so-called breathe and open up, as they might say.
So what was it that you didn't like about it? Because I do know, based on Jim's statements, it was more of sort of cherry. There was a lot of sort of fruit, strawberry undertones. And I know you're you mostly like spicier Cabernet, so I could see how maybe you didn't like it. I haven't tried it yet, but this whole controversy has gotten me interested in trying out the
wine. Well, give it a try, and we'll see what you think. And maybe we'll update and add a comment on there. But for me, it was a lot of this chemically thing. I mean, people would maybe say tannins or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, all those flavors you just mentioned and that, you know, you read on the website, on the label, and so forth. I didn't notice those because it had such a strong, forward, chemical kind of tannins flavor, more so than I would normally expect from a wine. And I'm not being any kind of price snob in the sense that, you know, it's a low-priced wine. Low-priced wines can taste great.
Yeah, actually,
the price has nothing to do with it, really. We've learned that.
Well, we're a big fan of the St. Michelle Rieslings.
Right,
for
and there's
the
a
summer.
Great example of a good wine. Right. So I gave it a fair chance. I taste it again. I'll taste it again, too. We have another bottle. Maybe it's a bad bottle. That happens, too.
If it's a bad bottle, you would know. It would taste like...
It would taste really...
what was the flavor of it? Like wet dog or something like that. I don't know. But you would have known.
So we'll give it another chance, and we'll try it again, and we'll see what you think.
But I think it brings up a good case where with wines, you have a lot of these Wine Spectators and Robert Parker rating wines. But ultimately, I think you really need your taste buds to rule on it. So here is a case where Jim has pointed, rightfully so, a lot of great reviews on this wine
and awards. For this wine.
But at the end of the day, it's personal choice. And so Clint just, you didn't like it, and that's okay.
Right. And you know, I usually go in there hoping to like a wine. I'm not out there to try and, say, hey, this is terrible. It's better to review
it's
and
okay.
recommend nice wines.
It's okay, Clint. I don't think Richard Branson is going to come after you with one of his jets or anything.
I guess our joint venture is not going to happen anymore.
On a final note, I just wanted to bring up, we do have the 2009 Loretto calendar available, and I really want to thank those of you that have purchased their calendars that are going to be coming your way. For those that haven't, it's going to a great cause. All net proceeds are going to go to Animalandia.
Animalandia?
Yes.
Did I say it?
Animalandia.
Right. Got it.
Yes. And we'll disclose out later on exactly how much of the proceeds went to the charity. But it's a great cause, and I think Jane may be also writing a blog entry just about what the charity means to her. But it's definitely a way that you can support Loretto and at the same time do some of your Christmas shopping as well.
Super. Well, we look forward to connecting with everyone again. This has been another episode of the Stark Naked Report. So long, everyone.